All right. Okay, let me start from here. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Let's start with that. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Let me start from verse 12. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. He said, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me. He said, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? He said, but to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. The next line says, therefore, that's verse chapter 4, let us fear. Please, everybody say, let us fear.
Let us fear.
He said, therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For he who has believed enter that rest. Just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let me stop here. Okay, let me just stop from that line where he says, which verse is that now? Verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. All right? Very important. Let me just stop there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I want to explain a principle which I have said, I have explained again and again to us, all right, as believers in Christ Jesus, for us to bear in mind. Now, I've explained this thing many times, but of course, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. So I am not ashamed to repeat the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The power is in the constant hearing. The power is not in, I heard this some time ago. The power is in that the word is always coming and it's always transforming. And that's the power therein, all right? Now, I want to explain this principle again to us. And that is the fact that, let me start it like this, the word of God works, and we've been talking about that for some time, all right? And what God is doing, listen to this, is that he's rearranging us until we get to the point where what he promised to do can happen by his power. Let me put it like this. That word can manifest itself without our effort. The reason why we keep on listening, the reason why we keep on getting instructed, the reason why we pay attention all the time is so as to have ourselves exposed constantly to the word of God. You know, there's an article I've been writing for a few days now, about 3 days. I've not worked on it for like 2 days now, but I wrote it over like 2 days before that. And, you know, as I was writing that thing, there was a day I was just working on that article, just on and on. There was a time I got so excited, I jumped up. My wife was looking at me that, what is exciting this man? All right, it was something I wrote at that particular point in time. And I don't know whether I can just drop something about it briefly. And that is the fact that, you know, while I was writing, I realized something for sure, okay? That I always knew it, but it was just a good explanation. That you see, the physical realm that we see, all right, is the way I understand a bit of physics. I just realized that it's actually continuous with the realm of the spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because if you look at it closely, do you understand? You'll see that everything we see actually, physically, they are actually made of the same thing. Now, you learn a bit of chemistry and physics, most of us. You've heard of the atom. Remember the atom? Uh-huh. All right. And the atom has a nucleus. Can you remember that? And then the nucleus contains protons and Neutrons. Okay, good. Now, we won't go into details, but some people are, they will just run away now. They said, this is why we run away from science. You brought it out to Bible study. I was supposed to cope. You know? But this one I want to just quickly drop for you, all right? Now, the atom, of course, remember the story about it, is like a ball, you know, like a sphere. It's a round structure. And the outer part of it is where the electrons run through. It's not a solid mass of electrons, but the electrons are tiny particles that just run around the atom, all right? You know, I heard this one long ago, and I watched it again on TV recently, and that they said if you took the atom, all right, and it's the size of an average cathedral, a big house, that's what they're trying to say, the nucleus is just a tiny pin in the center of it. That's how small the nucleus is compared to the whole atom. The nucleus is less than, let me give you, this is a serious overestimate. What I mean is actually smaller than what I want to say. The nucleus is actually less than 1%, what am I saying, 1%? Less than 0.1% of the total mass, all right? That's not mass now, size, okay? Size of the atom, which means that most of the atom is just empty space with electrons running around. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, if you look into the atom further, the nucleus further, you can further break that thing down until you get to a particular point. Yesterday, I was watching on TV, and let me not go into it, talking about neutrinos. I was just smiling to myself because I was writing an article while I was watching this thing. I realized that when you look at it, you know, in the finest level, what really makes up all of these things is what you and I will call energy. Real substance, real mass itself, hardly exists. It hardly exists. Do you understand? It hardly exists. The point I'm trying to make here is this. So I realize that the Bible says, let there be light at the beginning. That is, the foundation of everything that God made is light. When he made light, all right, from there, and this is totally in agreement with what men understand about physics. Now, while I was reading it, I know I was just smiling to myself. I said, listen, while I was writing, the thing was just flowing in my mind. And I realized something. The problem with mankind is that they, like, let's take doctors as an example, the biological scientists, not the physics people, the biology people, all right, doctors and all of that, those who do a lot of research into diseases. They want to tell you, eat this, and you'll be fine. Don't eat this, and you'll not fall sick. Some people eat it, they are not fine. Some people, you know, do everything wrong, and they are okay. I know the reason. I'm trying to bring out something here. The reason is simply because there is something that is finer and more powerful than what they understand that tells those molecules that they see how to behave. That's what I'm trying to explain. There is a reason why the hydrogen atom formed the hydrogen atom. There is a reason why carbon was formed. It was not by chance. The reason is because there is a spiritual energy which is far finer in, you know, is beyond what the, because, see what I'm going to say, the days of Dalton atomic theory, then one day they went finer and saw that there were smaller particles inside the atom. Then they went finer and saw there were smaller particles inside the proton. And they kept on going finer and finer. Do you understand my point? And this is what I'm going to explain to you. The finer you look, the more you realize that there's something behind. The more you look. And the thing that is actually behind everything is what you and I call the Spirit of God. That's it. You know, I said something to you before. Were it not that God was introduced through religion, science would have postulated his existence. The only reason why science cannot seem to understand the existence of God is because of two things. Once you accept him, you have to accept many other things. You have to accept that you cannot covet your neighbor's wife. When the man wants to covet his neighbor's wife, so he can't accept it. That's what the Bible meant when he said, men love darkness. That's why they reject light. Please, I'm bringing out something here. You see, I realize something here, therefore, that what God is actually doing is almost, you know, you can almost explain it using the laws of physics. If you understand it very well. And what is he doing? He's passing, now listen to what I'm trying to say. Because all the molecules of your system, and that's not the only way his power works. It works in the society. The structure of the environment, it works in it. Why should the ozone layer be depleted or not be depleted? The word of God controls that. Now listen to this, this is not a joke. You know, I teach some subjects to medical students, so I'm forced to read and keep on researching, you know, just doing my literature research and all of that. I know these genes they talk about. Nobody, I don't think we understand a quarter that is of how they behave, why they behave the way they do. There are genes that are there, they refuse to show up, nobody knows why they don't show up. Then after a long time, we'll find out one simple reason. You know, science is very funny. They'll tell that some chemical substance reacted with this and shut it down. Why did they react with this in this person and ignore doing it in the other person? I'm giving an answer to all of these things. The reason is because of what the Bible calls spirit. Are you getting my point? And the reason why we differ, I keep on saying that, in our genes, is simply because the Spirit of God went out and rearranged it. Now, that is not a joke. If you look at it, now you look around, some people are white, Caucasian. Some are black, some are Asians. You understand? At the end of the day, we all came down from the same father, Noah and his children. Why are we different? It is simple. Because at the point in time, God released, you know, when he confused their language, he released a spirit that confused their appearance also. Listen, there is this, look, everything science tries to explain, they have not gone further down. If they had gone far enough down into the depths of it, they'll be able to realize that this was where God placed his finger. Listen, there is no accident in life. If there's a genetic mutation, there is a reason why that mutation happened. And it's a spiritual reason. Please, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. Please, bear it in mind. My emphasis again is the fact that let's not get stuck on what scientists are saying. Let's realize that thing that changed things in a particular direction is still working. And it can change them in the opposite direction. That is, there was a time a gene was normal. Alright? It became abnormal and it's been sent down generations. They now say there is this inherited disease. Someone was telling the other day about Ebola virus. He said Ebola virus, this has been doing for a long time. It stays in the forest. He was talking science, so that occasionally it will come out. Kill a number of people, then they will control it. It will go back into the forest. As he was saying it, he was talking science, and he was describing how evil spirits behave. Please, I'm trying to get out of this physics I'm teaching, all right, and sit down my message properly so I don't want to confuse people. Do you understand? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. This man was explaining to me, we're just discussing the office. He said it has gone like that for a very long time. That this has been, if you've been reading the news, he said the current one has been the biggest outbreak. It's been the biggest. The only good thing about it, he says, is that this one, the mortality rate is just about 55%. The previous ones were up to 90%. Okay? Now, let me not sit on Ebola matter now, but I want to bring out an issue. Listen to me. It is a spirit. It's called a spirit of death. And it's going around looking for whom he may devour. And listen, we can drive the spirit back into the forest from where it came. And that wouldn't be the first time. You know, I listened to a message I shared with some of my brethren today, that yesterday. I listened to this man of God, who I listened to a lot, Ken Hagin, teach. He said there was a time, there was an outbreak of flu in the United States. And everybody had the flu. Except they call it either Asian flu or one of the, you heard of bird flu some years ago. All right? Something like that. So they had down, this was years ago, that was, I don't know, in the 50s or so, somewhere around that time. And everywhere, Everybody was saying they had the flu. Of course, schools were closed. He said once he went to go, one man of God came to town to preach. So he went there. He found that they had closed the meeting down. He said, what happened? That the man of God said he's going home to have the flu. I mean, I don't know how to explain it now. Like, he's sick. He felt sick. So let him go home and go and finish the flu. Fall sick throughout at home. And Ken Hagin said when he got there, he was alarmed. He said that. He said the man felt so sick, they had to hospitalize him. Now, contrast this with his own behavior. He decided this was an evil matter, and no evil shall befall me, and no plague will come near my dwelling. He said one night, he woke up, and his throat was sore, all his body was aching. Which is the signs of what? The flu. And then, the people said that, nobody was there, but this happened. Oh, somebody say, do you have the flu? He would say, no, the devil is trying to give it to me and I'm not going to take it. So he lay down there, and when he woke up and said, he told the devil, lie, this one I am not collecting. What you want me to say, I'm putting many words now, is that now I have the flu. And he said, I don't have the flu, I can't have the flu. Jesus paid for me not to have the flu, and Satan, you are trying to give it to me, therefore I will not collect it. After a while of confessing the word of God like that, he fell asleep. By the time he woke up next morning, all the flu, the symptoms, the sore throat, everything had what? Disappeared. And he kept on going around telling everybody, you don't have to have the flu. I had a similar experience, I've told this story before, with chicken pox. When I was in Lagos then, I was ill, that is, I was feeling so sick. I didn't know what was going on. I just kept on going about my business. Then one day I woke up in the morning, and as soon as, you know, you just wake up, just rub your eyes, all I felt was bumps all over my face. So I grabbed the mirror, and don't forget, I'm a doctor. The moment I looked in the mirror, I said, yay. Have you seen chicken pox before? The thing was all over me. I said, Father in heaven, let me summarize the story. I collected one of Bishop Oyedepo's tapes, Supernatural Living Series. I put it in, I think, tape 2 or tape 3. I listened to it. When I finished listening to it, I put a hand over my face and I cast the thing. Then I went, had my bath, put powder on my face just so that people won't be staring at me in the house. Just ordinary dressing powder, not a treatment powder, just a white powder, you know. So I just walk around so that the powder will be more obvious. I didn't want to be answering questions. I woke up next morning. I still remember very well how it felt. As I woke up, you know, reflex also. I wasn't trying to check what was happening with me. Reflex, I just rubbed my hand like this. My face was so smooth, I rushed for the mirror again. Looked, it had gone back to normal. God punish you. You know, like they say, God punish the devil. One of the things I have realized in life, you understand, is Satan will give to you what you are willing to take. This man of God I was listening to, he said that then he went to visit some people. He knocked on the door. They said, don't come in, you are going to get the flu. He said, no, I'm not going to get the flu, I'm coming in. So they opened the door, he sat with them for about an hour, he and his wife, and told them, don't worry, I am not going to get the flu. They were telling some preachers that I'm not going to get the flu. Oh, whisper to him, he said, don't say it loud. So he shouted loud again, why not? You know? He said, the devil may just hear you. Why do you think I'm saying it? I want him to hear. It is the devil I want to hear. There's a reason viruses behave the way they do. That's what I'm going to explain. And those things, those reasons are spiritual. Now, back to where I began from. Why is God treating us the way he's treating us? That is, he makes you leave everything you are doing to come and sit down and listen to me this evening. Or you are listening to this one on maybe by tape or on the web. Why is he making you do it? It is simple. Listen to this. Literally, I'm saying this literally. His spirit is entering into you to rearrange your molecules. Do you know, medically speaking, not everybody can get leprosy? Yeah. No matter how hard you try, most human beings are genetically immune to leprosy. Another one that will interest you. Do you know not everybody can get HIV? If you like, soak them inside the virus. There are a few people that, for certain reasons, the reason has been identified inside the laboratory. You know, for certain reasons, their body says this virus can't enter. There was a reason, actually what happened was that it was in one particular country. They stumbled on some prostitutes who were not HIV positive, and they were surprised. Finally, they found out they lacked, let me not go into details, they lacked some critical molecules that the HIV requires. They don't have it. To let you know that these things are, look. There are some kinds of malaria that floats around, and certain human beings can never get it. Why? Because on their red cells, certain molecules are absent. And that malaria needs that molecule to enter. The things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. So all these ones that the doctors can see in the lab is not the real reason. It's not the real reason. The fact is that spiritual things are very real. So, if you read stories that this man went in, he never came, he came out, did not have the flu and all of that. No, can I tell the story? I've been listening to him a lot. He said, as a child, God told him once that my angels cared for you since the time you were a child. He said, that only makes sense. That there was a time, you know, everybody will fall sick. He will lie on the same bed as the sick man. Maybe they had them either smallpox or chickenpox, of those things. He would never could get it. It was later he found that it was the angels of God that blocked it and said, this thing can't cross here. Let me tell you the truth. God is saying to us, you can decide to follow the predictions of science or economics concerning the way your life will turn out. But the truth is that they have left a particular level, which is where I'm controlling things from. You know what I'm trying to say? If you expose yourselves, your body, your system, to the word of God enough, it will literally, physically rearrange your molecules until some sicknesses will not be able to pass your skin. And let me say, the doctors will carry you to the lab and find the reason why. But what they will not realize, it was not so before. It became like this because you sat and you were exposed to the word of God. That's what God is trying to do with all of us. In every aspect of life. This is where Christianity, in fact, not just Christianity now. It's Christianity though, but I want to bring out something. This is where the word of Christ that we preach is different from every other people on this earth that claim to be preaching something spiritual. No matter how hard Islam preaches, what they preach, all right, are codes. Do this, don't do that. It's Christianity, it's not so. What Christianity is preaching is sit down and listen. When you listen, the power to do or not to do will be conferred upon you automatically. The doing or not doing is a sign of whether you listened or did not listen. I'm not handing you instructions. That's what God is saying. I'm transforming you. I'm not telling you, just walk, do this, do that, so that I will be happy. No, I'm saying if you pay attention to me, the kind of work that will make me happy will walk you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's like you walk your dog. You make it go where you want it to go. That's what he's saying. Now, so what's the point I'm making? And I started by explaining, what's God doing with us? Listen. By the time the word of God is through with you, you literally will not be the same person you used to be. literally. You see, if you were not here some Tuesdays ago, when we began to talk on how to bless your children, please get the MP3 CDs, all right? Please, please, get the MP3 CDs and listen to the whole series on how to bless your children, all right? It's very important. The reason why I'm bringing that up is that one of the things I explained in that series, okay, is the power of the words. You see, it's not just about praying for your children now, that God, please, will have mercy on them. That is there. No, that is there, important, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that the words you speak to those children as a covenant child of God is not words of advice. You can speak it to children that are a day old, and they will still hear it, because you're not talking to their intellect. You're talking to the molecules of their body. You're not talking to the fellow's intellect. You are saying, this is your brain. This is how it's going to behave. And brain will hear it. You are talking to the child's immune system. Please, I hope you're feeling what I'm going to explain. Now listen, the word of God is not I. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not advice. So, the reason, listen to this. The reason why sometimes you obey certain instructions is that you have to make it easy. No, I don't want to use the word easy. You have to allow, that's just the better way to put it, the spirit, which is the power that is in the word of God, to enter. That's what I've been, in fact, that's what I want to pick up from now. So that if God gives an instruction, remember I started reading by that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. Let me say this to you again. The word works. You know, I keep on saying that. The word works. The word doesn't give you advice on what to become. It tells you what you will become. It will tell you what God has made you, that it wants your flesh to manifest. That's how the word of God is. That's how the word of God is. The only problem, that's why I'm doing all of these things. The only problem is where we are. That's why we read from this Hebrews chapter 3. When the word is not mixed with faith, faith is the thing that allows the word to enter. That's what it is. Lack of faith is what manifests as disobedience. I said to you before, God didn't give instructions. His word are not a set of instructions, really. Mm-mm. No. I said this many years ago. The first day, I don't know how I understood it, I don't know. I just told my friends, I said, do you know the word of God is not supposed to be obeyed? It's supposed to be believed. I like that, like Israel, your friend. And the woman will say, thank you for that thunderous silence. I said it then, but when I said it, after I finished saying it, I'm not even sure I fully understood it. What I'm telling you, I remember I said it in 1992, not today. I said, do you realize the word of God is not, so, no, maybe not, around early 90s. I said, do you realize that the word of God is not supposed to be obeyed? It is supposed to be believed. So what are you saying? We can disobey it? No. If you disobey it, it's a sign you have not believed it. I'm not saying that, no, let's go and disobey. No. Obedience is a consequence, a natural consequence of the fact that that word entered. So if you find yourself disobeying the word, it is because you did not believe it. And we have been explaining that to believe does not mean to just agree. That is the first step. To believe the word, the practical thing is this: to have yourself exposed to it and you hold on to it all the time. The reason why you disobey it is because you did not do that with the word. The kings of Israel, they failed because of one single thing they did not do. God gave them one simple commandment. He said, take the law and write it. He said, when you have finished, that is, make a copy of it for yourself. He said, when you have finished doing that, start reading it. Read it all the days of your life. He said, if you do that, you will discover that you will keep everything that is written inside. The way I used to think about it is that when you keep on reading it, you will remember. No, it is not just about remembering. It is that word that you keep on reading, all right? As you are absorbing it, it is forming your system into something. You know, you hear the world these days, they try to argue that people were born homosexuals. You know the truth? Is that scientifically, if they wish, they can prove it. But what we are saying is that whatever be the reason you identify to why they became what they are, it is because of the absence of light. And if the word of God is introduced to them, it will correct them into what God planned for them to be. That's what we are saying. Don't say because a man was born one way, it is the right way. After all, if somebody is born blind, Jesus can still heal him or her. You won't say, don't touch him, he was born blind. There are many things people are born with. Doctors are working every day to correct. What am I going to say? You see, when people start disobeying the word of God, it's a clear sign that they have not paid it attention. They are not holding on to it. And that is when that word does not work in their lives. What I've been teaching, I ended last time, I'm trying to connect with today, is the reason why this word will not work in the lives of people. Because when what appears sometimes like instructions, obey this, obey that, that obedience is not what, you know, that thing, that obedience to that commandment is not what is going to bring results in your life by itself. It is what allows the word to enter deeper and further so as to by itself produce something. That's what it is. And one of the problems people have is that they get to a particular point, they turn their backs on the word of God so it can't produce in their lives. And what I'm preaching now, all right, which I've been doing for the last two meetings here, is to explain to people that the word works. You have to allow it work. It works. The problem is that the way God arranged it, if you don't want it to work, it will not work. He said the word preached did not profit them. Because it was not united with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. I said something last time. If you're not here, you can get the tape. I said, people don't just refuse to obey God. They obey something else. Now, the other things they obey, actually what it does is to take their attention away from the word that is supposed to be working in their lives. Because the word must be fed to you constantly. It's like electricity. You can't disconnect from it for one moment and expect the thing to keep working. Do you understand my point? That is why, you know, I got a call this afternoon. You know, this morning. Those of you who are around in the morning, you know, there was time I took a call. I was saying, I don't nobody know. The man asked me, he said, do you do motivational speaking? He's a good friend. Well, he's not a very close friend, but he's a brother that we've had many interactions in this arena, that is with the word of God. He said, do you do motivational speaking? I said, no. He said, well, I know you don't, but some people are doing a program. He said, either DFID or USAID, yes, USAID, one of them, and they are doing a program. They are looking for people to speak on this so-and-so subjects. He was wondering whether I would be willing to do it. I thought about it for like 5 seconds. Or is it 3 seconds? I just said, oh, guy, if it's not the teaching of the scripture, forget me. He said, well, okay, yeah, I know. Okay, I just let me ask you whether you'll be able to handle it. I said, no, I'm not handling. Now, please get my point. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it is bad. All right? I'm bringing an issue. Why did I say I'm not handling? And that's because of the kind of, that's my own ministry. Do you understand? I said, no, I don't do such things. Because you see, that what I do is not to teach you methods and how. And those people want somebody to come and teach methods and how. How to plan your retirement. You know, stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying it is bad. I'm just saying that, you see, my own calling is not something I can teach you and then you go away home and go and do it. The thing that comes from my mouth is like wire. It connects you with God. You can't cut it. The moment you cut it, it stops working. Do you understand? It's not a method you can hand over to somebody else and then he will go and walk. You know, you will work with it and it will get results. The only thing you do with the words I speak is to use it to constantly connect yourself with the power of God. The moment you disconnect it, do you understand? It starts flowing. So when I was offered that assignment, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot go except the people are willing to learn how to connect with the power of God. Do you understand what I want to emphasize? That, you see, that's how the word of God is. That is why you can't turn your back on it for a moment. You can't. The word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed with a particular attitude. The attitude is that of constant connection. You know, when we're talking about Christ, the final sacrifice of rather the cross of Christ, then I explain a principle that you see when Moses put that serpent on the cross, those who got healed by it had to fix their eyes on it. They had to fix their eyes on it because it was a constant flow of energy that was rearranging their molecules. And this is what I'm explaining to Christians today. You cannot, oh God, you cannot cut away from that constant connection at any point in time. When the word of God is flowing to you right now, you know, Jesus said something in John chapter 6. He said that the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. What he was saying is that, you see, as I'm speaking, for example, you hear, you have heard, thou shall, how did Moses say they should divorce their wives that time? As an example. Write them a writ of divorce and all of that. He said, but I say to you, in the beginning it was not so. He that made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his wife and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, and whatever God has joined together, no man shall put asunder. Now there are two ways to look at that. You see, God does not want you to divorce your wives. Is that correct? Yes, yes, it is very correct. But you see, the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. If you marry a Jezebel, you will ask God whether he was sure what he was talking about when he said that thing. And if your husband is Nabal, Foley is his name, Nabal is his name and Foley is with him. You know, you'll be asking, God, look, are you very sure of what you're talking about? Do you understand what I'm saying? And now that's where the problem is. Because you think that Jesus was handing out instructions on what to do and what not to do. Unfortunately, it's not like that. The impression we have is that Jesus said, don't divorce your wives. And so it's something you have to try not to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that is the superficial way of looking at it.